Okay, so we're beginning today the prophecy of Micah. Micah is a contemporary of Isaiah, and I explained to you last week why I'm not doing Isaiah with you. You can get it from the web should you wish to. So we're now looking, this is the situation I talked about with you last week, but I want you to look at it now from the point of view of someone living in Jerusalem, Micah. Because he's a contemporary of all this. So Micah is living in Jerusalem, and this is the period of the aggressive military expansion of Assyria, which here's where it was in the Mesopotamian area. Now it's come over here and down here. So, and it's under these are the list of the various kings of Assyria at the time. This is the only one that need interest us today, Tiglath-Pileser III, who reigned from 744 to 726. Micah's period is 740 to 725, his period of preaching. So that's his contemporary. So I'll read you some of the stuff again that we did last week, but with a slightly different accent. So imagine Micah in Jerusalem, and this is what's happening north, in the northern kingdom of Israel. Pekahiah continued the policy of his father Menahem, and he kept paying tribute to Assyria, so they wouldn't come in aggressively. Pekah murdered Pekahiah in 735, and he refused to pay the tribute. He looked for support to Egypt, which of course brought anger from Assyria. Now here we've got a key point. Here in 734, Tiglath-Pileser III attacked for the reasons that you can pick up, and he conquered Philistia. He annexed the area here, all the way down, really, on the coast side, bordering the Mediterranean. The next year, he took Gilead, which is here, and then Galilee, including the transverse valley just there. And because that was happening, because he was coming, as he was tearing down the coastland, obviously Israel got scared. So did Syria, which is its neighbour, Aram, and they attacked Judah because they wanted Judah to come in with them and form an alliance, and Judah refused. The death of the king made it easy for them to come in, and Ahaz, who was a young king here in Jerusalem in 734, his being a young man, gave them the opportunity. They came into the country, and I'll talk about that with you in a minute. And there was a war between northern and southern kingdoms. Micah lived through it, and you're going to see, probably, I'm dealing with probabilities all the time, you're going to see some of the stuff in the thing makes sense in his prophecy in the light of that. Now, Pekah was assassinated in 732 by a man called Hoshea, who reverted to paying a tribute to Assyria. And in 724, which is just after the time of our man, Micah, he decided to turn to Egypt, stop paying the tribute, and other kings came in, and then you have the sacking of Samaria and the end of the northern kingdom in 721, which is all terrifically relevant to Isaiah, but seems to be after the period of Micah. I hope that wasn't too confusing to you. Micah's prophecy opens with these words. The word of Yahweh came to Micah of Moresheth in the days of kings Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah of Judah, which he, that is Micah, saw in a vision concerning Samaria, the capital of Israel, and Jerusalem, the capital of Judah. Well, they obviously stand for their regions. So, They are his dates, most probably, the best we can do. Jotham is the king. Well, he was the regent for a while, because his father, I think I mentioned on an earlier occasion, Uzziah, who'd reigned for 40 years, he got a leprosy, or what we call lepra, but it was some kind of virulent disease of the skin that meant he couldn't be in public life. So he was retired, and his son took over in his name and became king there. Ahaz, 734, is the main person who is the king of Jerusalem during the time of Micah. And I think you can see that by comparing the dates. What happened during the period of Jotham when he was regent and then king? And we'll see, this is the current situation in Jerusalem and Judah when Micah is moved to address the populace in God's name. Jerusalem was isolated and influenced to a large extent by foreigners, because the Assyrian aggression, while it didn't move into Judah, they still had influence there. And so you've got the vassal towns of Judah were collaborating against the capital, and they're in the hands of corrupt local administrators. There's a rampant opportunism and a disintegration of justice occurring at this time. Here we read from the second book of Chronicles the history of that event that I talked about, the invasion of Syria, or by Syria and Israel against Judah, in the years 734 to 732. That period when Pekah was on the side of Egypt and Assyria was violently moving in. So that's the situation, and this is what happened according to the second book of Chronicles, chapter 28, verses 5 to 8. Yahweh, his God, gave Ahaz into the hand of the king of Aram. Aram is Syria. Who defeated him and took captive a great number of his people and brought them to Damascus, the capital of Syria. He was also given into the hand of the king of Israel, who defeated him with great slaughter. Pekah, the son of Remaliah, killed 120,000 in Judah in one day, all of them valiant warriors, because they had abandoned Yahweh, the God of their ancestors. And Zikri, a mighty warrior of Ephraim, killed the king's son, Maaseiah. Azrikam, the commander of the palace, and Elkanah, the next in authority to the king, also were killed. The people of Israel took captive 200,000 of their kin, women, sons, and daughters. They also took much booty from them and brought the booty to Samaria. So we're living in a pretty wild Judah is not under Assyria, it's going through a very hard time with its neighbours. That's the historical background as best I can offer it to you. It's all in the book, of course, in the introduction, but now I'll just pause and then we'll begin the prophecy itself.